Welcome back, everyone, to the campfire. Tonight's video, we are diving into the paranormal. Tonight, we are going to discuss the true encounter with the Becks, better known as Black Eyed Kids. Stick around, you're not going to want to miss tonight's episode. Black-eyed kids are the American legend of paranormal creatures that resemble children between the ages of 6 and 16. They're known to have pale skin and black eyes, who are reportedly seen hitchhiking or begging, or encountered on doorsteps of residential homes asking to be let inside for various reasons. Some have speculated that the Becks are vampires because their validation is very limited. Some even speculated that the black-eyed kids are actually regular children that are possessed by demonic entities. Others have said that they're human alien hybrids. This kind of makes sense to me. Pale skin with black eyes. Kind of like a supernatural demon with the black eyes mixed with a little X-Files going on. I could dig it. The last sighting was in Rome, Ohio back in 2019. But that's just actually the last time it's officially been reported. No one truly knows how many occurrences are actually taking place right at this very moment since 2019. There could be a whole bunch of crap going on that we don't even know about because it's not even being reported officially. Tonight, we have a special guest joining us around the campfire. Joshua Saki, originally from Chicago, Illinois, but now currently resides down in Florida. He has a first-hand personal encounter with the black-eyed kids that he's going to be sharing with us tonight. Welcome, Josh, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Zach, and thank you for having me in the campfire. I can't wait to tell you all the true harrowing experience I had.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, so let's start at the beginning. Like, how did this happen to you?
This happened in 2008. I was 11 years old. My sister was born about a year and a half prior, if I remember correctly. My parents, my dad started after my sister was born, went back to work like normal. He worked in the city, so he would be gone from 6 o'clock in the morning till at least 12, almost 11:30 at night.
Because
he would come home. He would leave work at six and then go to a bar with his friends.
Oh,
after he got back
that's
from the train station. Yeah. And then my mom, around this time, started going out with her friends a lot. So my grandmother, or AKA my Bobby, which is Yiddish for grandmother.
Okay.
And my uncle came in to, like, just supervise us while they were doing their thing.
Okay. So your uncle was home when this happened?
Uncle and grandmother.
Okay. But they weren't in the same room with you?
They were, but they were both asleep.
Gotcha. Okay, and what time was this?
Exactly 10:45 p.m. I'm thinking around May. Around May. I don't know exactly when in May. I just know it was around May.
Okay. So May, 10:45 at night, your uncle and your grandma, they're passed out. What are you watching? You watching movies or something, or what's going on?
Yeah, I'm watching a movie, horror movie marathon on Sci-Fi, which I had gotten express permission beforehand from my dad and my grandmother.
Nice. So what happened?
So I was sitting on the couch. I don't remember exactly what movie was on the marathon. I do remember somewhat of the plot. I think it was like one of those old, like the monster movies, but like the poorly budget ones.
Yes. I know those. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was like a Piranha one. I don't remember exactly.
Okay.
And I remember just had taken up a handful of popcorn as I was chewing. I heard a knock at the front door. Not loud enough to wake my grandmother or my uncle who were sleeping on the couch. So my grandmother was sleeping on a couch across from me, and my uncle was sitting on the same couch as I was, but he was asleep.
Okay.
So I got up and I was like, first I'm thinking, who's knocking at my door at 10:45 PM? You know, it's like, it's kind of laid out. I live in a relatively safe neighborhood. So, I mean, I'm not overall like afraid of being robbed or stuff like that. I'm not living in the city.
Okay.
So, but I assumed that probably my dad got home early. Started to get home early, got drunk, and left his keys in the car. And instead of bothering to go searching for them, he just said, "I'll knock on the front door," and you know, shit like that, right?
Which is totally understandable.
Yeah.
So what happened? You go to the door? Did you have a
The door
peephole or
and the way
something,
the.
or?
No, I don't have people. See, the sad thing is my door, my old house front door, it had two doors to it. So there's a big wooden door on the inside, and that's, you can't see out of it because it's a stained glass at the end where there would be a peephole.
Okay.
So then I opened, and then behind that door is a screen door. So I opened the big wooden door, but left the door closed. And well, I kind of peeked out first over the big door, and I was making sure, like what's going on. And I come to see two boys, one about 14 and one about around my age, 10 or 9,
Oh, wow.
in a dark grayish hoodies, standing on my front porch.
Both of them were wearing hoodies.
Both of them were wearing hoodies, yes.
Oh, wow.
And as I said before, it's a little March. It's not fully gone to springtime, so I could see why they're wearing hoodies. It is a little cold. And I expect, I think I remember the forecast for that night. It was like 55 degrees Fahrenheit. So
And it was 10:45 at night too. It's not going to be hot out.
yeah.
Okay. So what happened? They're just standing there, just perfectly stone still, or?
I asked them, so what's wrong? Why are you knocking on my door at 10:45? Where are your parents? Are you lost? Do you
Yeah.
want me to call someone? I just asked those questions.
Absolutely. Those are normal questions for someone at 10:45 that you don't recognize on your front doorstep. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I so they're and then the big one started to speak, the 14-year-old. Said, good evening, sir. We are lost, and we don't know where we are exactly. Would it be okay with you if we came inside your home and used your phone to call our mom to pick us up? And I said, no, I don't think that's a good idea. Both parental figures that I have and the house right now are both asleep, and I don't really know who you are. They don't won't let me like me letting someone I don't know who they are into our house at this point in time. And I said, but what I can do is I can bring you our house phone. I can and you can call your mom on the front step from the front step. And if you're hungry, I can bring you some snacks or some stuff.
Wow.
And they're
So
like,
my dumb ass would have
please.
let him in.
I
Go ahead, keep going.
said, they said, please, sir, it's really cold outside. And I said, listen, I've already said what I can do for you. If you don't take that, I don't know what else I can do. As I'm saying this, I notice my hand is slowly reaching toward the screen door handle to open it.
Oh, snap. So the screen door was locked?
No, it's both doors were open. My dad was expected to be home soon, so
Okay. It was just closed, but it was unlocked. Okay, got it. Okay.
yeah. So my hand, I noticed my hand was reaching for the door handle, and I pulled my hand back. Yeah, and I said to them, ask, they say, sir, please let us in. We're really, really scared. And I said, listen, no, just no. I've already told you what I'll do to help y'all out. And then they're like, I think the worst part was that they were so persistent, and I kept giving them the same answer, and it was like we're at a standstill. And then when I pulled my hand away, there was a moment where like I could see like a twinge, a smile, from the 14-year-old, and he said, "Mister, it's not like we have a gun or nothing." And in some weird part of my primal brain was twisting those words around, like. He's saying, Mister, we don't need a gun to hurt you or your family.
Yeah, that's so in this whole situation on your front doorstep, did the little one ever speak at all, or was it just the older one that was doing all the talking?
So the older one did all the talking, and the weirdest part is they didn't have like a normal 14. When you're a kid, you have a very animated voice. Like you're really excited, but even when you're scared, you have a very animated voice, right?
Exactly. And the
They
tone is
spoke
probably a
in a
little lighter too.
monotone robotic-esque voice. It was devoid of emotion, devoid of any feeling or empathy at all. It was the best way I describe it was robotic at best. And the only thing that the younger one did the entire time was just look around erratically around like like it was like a lookout or something. Like he was looking out, like a lookout, looking for a crime.
So did they just stand there awkwardly, or did they leave, or what happened?
So as I'm getting to that, so I already said, "Sir, please let us inside." I said, "No, I'm not letting you inside my home. Giving you the options I will do. If you don't do those, I can't help you."
Exactly.
And at this point, the 10-year-old has stopped searching erratically around the neighbor like area, and has just focused on me with the 14-year-old. And finally, they both get really angry and start. The 14-year-old pounds on my door screen really loud and starts telling me, "Sir, please let us inside. We cannot come in to your home until you say it's okay. Tell us it's okay to come inside." Oh. And every time he says it, it's getting louder and louder and louder, and so are his poundings on our screen door.
And none of those poundings woke up your grandma or your uncle at all?
I'm surprised. I don't know why.
Because I think it's because you were a kid, and kids are innocent. And they were, that test was meant for you and you alone, so they did not hear it because they weren't meant to. That's my thought. That's my thought. Just like with it, with Stephen King, the parents never saw Pennywise or the blood, only the children, because they believe. That's my thought on it, because yeah, if someone's pounding on my screen door and they're screaming, I think everybody's gonna wake up. So for the fact that they didn't, I feel like it was only meant for you. That's freaking wild to think about, though.
And I say, "I'm not letting you in my house. I'm not letting you in my house." And at one point, I actually had to cover my ears because the banging became so loud. I don't know how to even describe it. Like, if it came to the volume of a jet stream.
Oh, jeez, oh.
Like, it was that loud.
When they were screaming, was it just the 14-year-old, or were they both screaming in unison? No,
they were screaming in unison.
Holy crap. At the same time? That's something from a movie. That's creepy.
Let us in your house. Let us in your house. We cannot come in unless you say it's okay. Tell us it's okay to come in your house. And the weirdest part is their voice kept getting deeper and deeper and deeper as they kept asking.
Wow. So their tones were changing as they were repeating themselves like a freaking record player.
Yeah.
Oh, that's insane. Oh, man, that's giving me goosebumps just thinking about it. Holy moly.
So, As I'm finally getting to my breaking point, where I'm in my brain, I'm saying, should I just let them in to stop this? Should I not? Is where I guess they were like, okay, plan A and B and C is not working. Time for plan D.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I'm like, at first, take off, they reach up for their hoods, right? Like, oh God, please don't grab it for a weapon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they pull off their hoods. And all I'm met with is their eyes, pure black, no pupil, no sclera, just endless void. It's like staring into abyss. Whoa. And I'm not sure if I cried or not, but I could definitely feel my lip quiver and a salt of a tear on my going down my cheek.
I would have screamed and probably fell on my ass backwards. Holy that would have scared the crap out of me at 10 years old.
Oh, while they're doing this, I'm not kidding. They kept singing in unison and kept pounding on the door with one free hand.
Jeez, oh.
And I don't know what happened. I don't know what gave me the strength. I remember, I think I pictured, I don't know. I think I said, "God, just give me the strength. Give me the strength to do something, please." And I screamed at them. I said, "I'm not letting you in my home. Now leave my house this instant. I have to go to the bathroom," and slam the door shut.
Nice. But, that was a nice exit right there. And a good and reasonable excuse.
Which, I wasn't lying. I did have to go to the bathroom when I did that.
Oh, excellent.
As soon as the door shut, and I'm not kidding you, my bubby woke up and my uncle woke up. And both looked at me and said, "Why did you open the front door?"
You broke.
And I looked as tears were still flowing down my, like tears were trapped in the eyelids, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't believe me if I told you.
You broke that negative energy connection, whatever it's called, when you said no, and you close that barrier by shutting the door, that cut off the that cut the cord with them. And
Yeah.
that's why your uncle and your booby, Bubba, your grandma,
Bobby.
Bobby, woke up because you broke the connection with the black-eyed kids.
I think so
Now
too.
everything went back to normal once you closed that
Oh,
door.
no. It was not normal as much. I'll explain. So after I went to the bathroom, which I did have to go to the bathroom after that. Well, I was walking back to my seat, right? Finished the movie. And I noticed I had one of those, we had one of those, it was 2008, so we still had one of those old analog VHS clocks, that surprisingly my family was one of them that was able to get the show actual time. And it read 11:47 p.m.
Whoa.
That, I'm telling
It
you
was
right
an
now,
you were sitting you were an hour went
that
by?
entire conversation must have lasted 15 to 10 minutes. It could have not lasted an hour. There's no way.
Yeah, there's no way that was an hour. Maybe just a few minutes of conversation. That's it. An hour passed? Well, I mean,
An hour.
how long were you in the bathroom?
3 minutes.
Oh, okay. Figured maybe you lost track of time on the old throne or something. But that's insane though. Yeah, if you were just taking a quick head break and then you looked at the clock and an hour had passed. Yeah, you were in some frickin' time warp with these black-eyed kids. That's crazy.
At 11:49, I'm already at my seat and my front door opens, and I remember grabbing like a vase that my mom held dear, and I said, I don't know if they're coming in the door or not, but if I ain't going out like this, I mean, if I survive this, I'll pay my mom for a new vase. And out comes my dad from the garage, not drunk. He sees me holding the vase, and he's like, "What you doing, mom's vase?" And I put the vase down gently, and I run and I hug him, and he's like, "What's wrong?" He says, "What happened?" I said, "Nothing. I'm just glad you're home. Just really glad you're home."
Wow.
And my dad just gave me a kiss on the forehead and said, "Did you get scared of the movie?" And I just said, "I lied." I said, "Yeah, I did."
Yeah, it's kind of hard because you feel like they're not going to believe you.
No.
You don't want to look crazy, and then
Yeah.
you're still trying to figure it out inside your own brain. That's
I don't know what I just saw. I literally didn't know what I saw. And while I was in the bathroom, I was trying to rationalize my brain around what I could have seen. Were those demons? Were those some kind of aliens? Were those fairies? What were they?
who knows? It's a
And
mystery to this day.
funny part of the story, I guess, is there is a witness to what the event exactly. What happened is the next day I'm playing basketball outside of on my driveway, right? And my next door neighbor, who's also one of my good friends, his name is Rajesh. He was Indian. His parents moved from India when he was like one. He comes over and says, "Yo, bro, what was going on in your house last night?" He's like, "What do you mean?" I'm like, "What do you mean?" "Bro, I looked at my house at like 10:45. I see you on the front step talking to two kids."
Ho.
And then he's like, "Bro, that's not even the fucked up part of it." He's like, "What are you talking about, bro?" So he's like, he was playing, I guess my friend Raj was playing WWE on his Wii in his room a little bit. And I guess at 11:46, right? He looks over to to my house, and sees the previous two Becks walking toward our community mailbox. As I get to our community mailbox, a fog embankment rolls in, and then when they're supposed to reappear from out by our community mailbox, they don't.
They
And the
freaking
fog's
vanished from the fog?
yep.
Oh, crap.
My
That's
friend,
insane. And you know what? I believe your friend saw it because he was also a child. He was not an adult.
yeah,
That's
my friend
insane.
Rajesh told me he got into his cover so fast and just cried and started praying in Hindi.
I would too. Holy crap. That is insane. That is one hell of a story. And I want to thank you, Josh, for coming on the show tonight. I really appreciate you telling us your true encounter in Chicago of the one and only creepy-ass black-eyed kids. I appreciate it so much. It really means a lot to me to get some real encounters spoken by the mouth of itself. I think we have all learned a few things after tonight. If you like tonight's video, make sure to subscribe, click that notification bell, and give it a thumbs up. That way you never miss another video. And, well, see you next time.